today. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Father, we thank you for what you've already done. We thank you for your presence and your life that we've already experienced, Lord, today. And we thank you, Lord, you said man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We thank you, Father. We open our hearts now to receive your word, the instruction of your word. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us the word and guiding us into all the truth. He is our teacher, and he causes this word to leap off the pages and become alive in our hearts. And Lord, we purpose now to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Lord, anoint me to speak your message today. Lord, I trust in you. Holy Spirit, speak through me. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Amen. Open your Bibles with me to Romans 13 this morning. Romans chapter 13. The Lord put this several days ago. The Lord just put this message, put this word on my heart. And so I don't know if it'll turn into, it may turn into a series. We're going to kind of do an overview today and see if we go further with it beyond that. But Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It's on the screen for us there. It says, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God. Everybody say, all authority comes from God. A little bit better. All authority comes from God. That's a little bit worse, okay? Let's say it together on three. One, two, three. All authority comes from God. Okay, that was really good. All right. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. So he's telling us here, all authority comes from God. He tells us God is the one that's instituted authority. He says the people that are those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And when we rebel against authority, we're rebelling against what God has instituted. And so this is something I believe that's very critical for us to understand in the day that we live in. Because I see, and many of you probably see as well, we see this happening that as we've talked about in our series on the last days, and I want to go back to one of the scriptures that was one of our main texts in the series on the last days and pick out something here because it fits with what we're talking about today. But we see the mystery of lawlessness. The Bible says the mystery of lawlessness. And what is lawlessness? Lawlessness is a rejection of authority. The Bible talks about the mystery of lawlessness being at work in the last days, and particularly in 2 Thessalonians 2. Look at that with me. Again, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. We're going to look at a few verses here. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. And you can follow along on the screen. Oh, by the way, did you see on the back of your bulletin, there's a space for you to take notes today? Did anybody notice that? Yeah, we normally put the notes from the previous week on there, but we decided to let you do a little bit of the work this time. Amen. I think we may do this for going forward. You know, I've got literally dozens of little spiral notebooks in my office on the bookshelves there of notes that I've taken from messages, sermons, meetings I've been to. Not my notes that of sermons I've preached, but as I've sat and listened to ministers preach the Word of God. And a lot of times I don't go back. Sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't even go back and look at those notes again. Sometimes I've thought about that. Well, you know, I look at those notebooks. And I thought, well, you've not looked at that notebook, you know, since you took those notes. But I feel like the Lord spoke to my heart that go ahead and do that because you get more out of it. If you take notes down, you get more out of it and receive more, even if you don't go back and look at the notes. Praise God. So I would encourage you to use that tool we've provided you to take some notes there. Praise God. So look at this. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them. even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Notice that statement. That what's going to happen, what's going to precede the coming of the Lord, what's going to be happening in the last days, he says there's going to be a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. That's the Antichrist. The Antichrist's nickname is the man of lawlessness. What is that? The man who rejects the authority of God. The one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy. That's what rebellion against authority is. It's defiance, isn't it? He will exalt himself. That's rebellion against authority right there, exalting yourself. And we'll see where the devil did that. So the Antichrist is the devil personified. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness, look at this, verse 7, for this lawlessness is already at work secretly. So in other words, the spirit of Antichrist, the King James says the mystery of lawlessness. Here it says this lawlessness is already at work secretly. And it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. That's the church. When we're raptured and taken out of the way, then the man of lawlessness will be revealed. But right now, the spirit of lawlessness, the mystery of lawlessness, the secret power of lawlessness is at work in our society, in our world, and certainly in our nation. And we need to be aware of it. It's a spirit that rejects authority. It's a spirit that says, I'm not going to follow authority. That's why we see all this this uprising against law enforcement. That's a rebellion against authority. And it's manifesting in many areas, but that's one clear area where we see it manifesting. It's spiritual. It's not a racial issue. It's a spiritual issue. It's spiritual. So notice he talks about a great rebellion against God. He talks about the man of lawlessness being revealed. You know, the Antichrist and anyone operating under that Antichrist spirit, any ruler in the past that we see, they actually want anarchy. You would think that they would want law and order, but a despot, a dictator, they want anarchy in the society and in the culture. That way they can come in and say, well, you know, here, I've got the solution. Just do what I say. And that gives them absolute control and authority. They want the culture. They want the society in anarchy. No laws being followed, but lawlessness. So that way they can come in and they can consolidate power then. Well, that's what the Antichrist is going to do. Instead of the rule of law, which our nation has operated under since its founding, it becomes the rule of man. And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. When we reject the rule of law and we say, okay, we're going to trust one man to tell us what to do. That's a dangerous thing. Yes. All right. Now, we see it. We see this spirit of lawlessness not only at work in the world and in our society at large, but we see it at work in the church as well. And we see this in Jude, the book of Jude. There's only one chapter, the eighth verse of the book of Jude. Peter talks about it as well in 2 Peter. We won't take time to look at what he said, but look at what Jude says here in Jude verse 8. He says, likewise also, he's talking about within the church. Now, likewise also, these dreamers defile the flesh. What's the second thing? Reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries. I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living. So it says they reject. He says these dreamers, they defile the flesh and they reject authority. He's talking about false people, false ministers and false leaders in the church. They reject the authority of God. In the New Living Translation, it says in the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams. See, that's dangerous right there. If you say, well, I've had a dream, and I'm going to do this because of a dream that I had. Well, what about what the Word of God says? Well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I had a dream. And they try to elevate their dream in the same level as the authority of God's Word. That's dangerous. I said, that's dangerous. Amen. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives, defy authority. Notice in the New King James, it says they reject authority. The New Living uses the word defy authority, and scoff at supernatural beings. And so we see this going on. We see this spirit of lawlessness, this secret power of lawlessness at work in our world and in the church. And in this mindset that we just described or saw described here in Jude 8, a lot of people come along and say, well, now, brother, we're free. You know, I'm free in Christ. Well, there's a difference between our freedom in Christ and being under the authority of God. You can be free in Christ and still be under the authority of God. Some people try to use the free in Christ excuse to say, well, I'm free in Christ, so I'm not under anyone's authority. I'm not under the government authority. I'm not under authority in the church. I'm not under any authority. I'm just free. I'm free in Christ. That's a deception. That's a false freedom. Amen? So what should we do? What should we do? Having said this and having identified this, how do we respond? What do we do about this? Well, we have to understand the importance of being under authority. We have to understand the importance of being under authority. Praise God. What does that mean? Well, what does that look like? Well, there's four areas that we'll maybe look at if we go further in this series, but I just want to point them out to you. Under authority in the church, under authority in the nation, that's civil authority. Under authority in society, just in society in general, there's a flow of authority that the devil is trying to break down in our society and in our culture. And some of these kind of are interconnected and overlap. But then the fourth one is being under authority in the home. God has an authority structure. Let me say it this way. God has an authority structure for the church. He has an authority structure for the nation, our government, civil authority. He's got an authority structure for society that goes, to me, that's bigger than just the laws of the land. But it's not just the actual laws on the books, but it's the way we treat one another and the way we interact with one another. There's an authority structure God has established there. And certainly God has established an authority structure in the home. And we need to recognize how each one of these operate if we want to be blessed. Amen? Amen. And not yield to and not give in to that spirit of lawlessness that is trying to work in our world today. So the number one place of authority, the number one authority, of course, is God, and you cannot separate God from His Word. So we want to talk about it and recognize first the authority of God's Word. If you're taking notes, you ought to write that down. The authority of God's Word. Jesus said this in Matthew 24, verse 35. Look at what He says here. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will by no means pass away. Hallelujah. God's Word is the final authority. I said God's Word. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. You know the one thing that's going to be standing? God's Word. Maybe not this physical Bible that the words of God are written on, but His Word, but the Bible, these words that we have revealed and written down in the Bible. This is the Word of God. God's Word, Jesus said, His words will by no means pass away. When everything else falls, when everything else fails, this will be standing. This will be standing. The Word of the living God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, I want to say this to you. We must establish God's Word as the final authority in our lives. I'd write that down if you were taking notes. Establish God's Word as the final authority in your life. Let God's Word be the final authority. What do you do in a situation? What does the Word say? See, thank God, you know, David and Karen let the Word of God be the final authority. And when they got the news about Olivia, They let the Word of God rise up, and they said, you know, the Word of God, what God's Word says is going to be the final authority in this situation, not what the report is, not what the accident report or what the doctors have said. God's Word is going to be the final authority over our daughter's life. And they're going to see that come to pass because they've chosen, and that's not just the first time they've done it, they've chosen to build their lives around that, as many of you have, and as I trust all of us will, establish God's Word as the final authority in your life. Amen? What does the Word say? You know, Christians today, it's sad to see that Christians today, many in the church world today, are moving away from the inerrancy of Scripture. They're saying, oh, well, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but you know, I mean, you know, we know there's some good things in the Bible, but what about this over here? Or what about, well, I believe God can, that's a dangerous place to be. When you begin to move away from the inerrancy of Scripture, when you begin to move away from the authority of the written Word of God. Amen. God's Word, the Bible, is our final authority. Not a dream, not a vision, but God's Word. That's one of the things that I so appreciate about Kenneth E. Hagin, Dad Hagin, because even though Jesus appeared to him on multiple occasions, even when Jesus appeared to him and would tell him things, he would say, Lord Jesus, I cannot accept that unless you show it to me. He would make a statement to him. He said, I cannot accept that unless you show it to me in your Word and you give me at least two or three witnesses, two or three scriptures in your Word. You know, instead of rebuking him, he said, Jesus smiled at him. And he said, I'll do you one better than that, son. I'll give you four. Particularly when he was talking to him about exercising authority. There was he had a vision one time, and Jesus is speaking to him in the vision. And in the midst of a vision, this little demon came up, started emitting a smoke screen and jumping up and down, waving its arms and going, yakety-yak, 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 like that. Brother Higgins couldn't hear Jesus. Jesus continued talking to him. The demons in front of them, in between them, and shooting up this smoke screen and yelling, yakety-yak, yakety-yak. This is all happening. Of course, he's seeing into the realm of the Spirit, seeing this happen. And he's thinking to himself, well, doesn't Jesus know that I can't hear what he's saying? Why doesn't he do something about this? And so finally, in desperation and exasperation, Brother Hagin said, I command you to shut up and get out of here in Jesus' name. The little demon went kerflop, you know, fell to the floor and then ran off, and the smoke cleared out, and he could hear Jesus again. Dad Hagin could hear Jesus speaking to him again. And Jesus said, I'm glad you did that. And he said, because if you hadn't done something about that, he said, I could not have done anything. He said, Lord, I know I didn't hear you right. I know I didn't hear you right. He said, I know you said if I had not done something, you would not. And he said, no. He said, I said, if you had not done something about that, I could not have. And so he said, Lord, you're going to have to give me scripture for that. See, Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Let's say that this is that authority. And so, let's say I'm Jesus and Tracy is the church. All right. Go ye into all authority, all the world. Well, who's got the authority now? The church does now, right? Who's got my notes now? Tracy does, right? Yeah. Tracy, if you don't finish this message, I can't. You got my notes, man. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he gave him, so he said, you're going to have to give me scripture for that, Lord. He said, at least two or three witnesses. He said, I'll do you. He said, smiled at him. He said, I'll do you one better than that. I'll give you four. And he did. Gave him four witnesses from the written Word of God that verified what he had just said to him. Amen. He said, well, I never saw that before. He said, there's a lot of things in there you've never seen before, son. Hallelujah. And that's the case with all of us. Amen. But we're growing and learning. Amen. You know, Satan came to Eve with, did God, in fact, let's look at that. Go with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's, of course, we know the devil is coming in the form of the serpent. And what is he doing? What is he doing? Look at, pay attention here to what's happening. What is he doing? Has God indeed said? What is he doing? He's calling into question the authority of what God had said. He's calling into question the authority of God's word. God had indeed said. And he said, well, did God really say? What is he doing? He's trying to undermine the authority of God's word, just like he does in every generation, or tries to do in every generation. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. See, she got back on the positive. He was just talking about the negative there. God had told him, of every tree you're free to eat, except. And so he wanted to concentrate on what they couldn't do. And she went back, well, no, we can eat of the fruit of the trees. This is a wonderful place. God's blessed us. He's been good to us. Amen. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, oh, no, you won't. You won't surely die. I know God said that, but that he didn't mean that. What is he doing? Undermining, trying to undermine the authority of God's word. For God knows, he said, let me tell you what God, here's why this happened to you. Here's why God said this. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. What is he saying? He's saying God is trying to keep you at a disadvantage here. The reason he don't want you eating from this tree is because when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will know good and evil. One translation says, deciding for yourselves, good and evil. What is that? That's a rejection of God's authority, isn't it? Yes. A rejection of his authority. He says, God is trying to keep you down, but if you eat of this, then you won't need God. You can decide for yourself what's good and evil. What is that? That's a rejection of God's authority. Amen. And so we see how he works then. We know that that's what he did. When Satan was one of the three archangels along with Michael and Gabriel, and look at Isaiah 14. Look at what he did one day. This is God speaking about him. He said, "For you have said in your heart, I will." Everybody say, "I will." I will. So he said, "Here's what he said. I'm going to do this. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne." See that's what the Antichrist is going to do? He's going to exalt himself. So the Antichrist is the devil personified. He'll be operating with that same spirit that the devil had in the beginning when he said, "I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the..." I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north, what he's talking about, he says, I'm going to occupy the place that belongs to God and God alone. He said, I will also sit there. God says he's sitting there. I'm going to put my throne there too. I'm going to sit there too. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to receive the authority of God. I'm going to establish my own authority. And he rejected the authority of God. Well, we know that Jesus put it this way. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He got kicked out that fast. Yeah. I'm going to skip Psalm 2 just for the sake of time. So go with me. So we see this at work, and we see how Satan works. He tries to get us to reject the authority of God's word. Did God really say? So number one, establish God's word as the final authority in your life. Establish God's word as the final authority in your life. Praise God. Another area, and this is not in any other than that one, the rest are not in particular order, but let's go back and look at Romans 13 for a moment. And I want to speak about this for a moment again about civil authority. Civil authority, government authority, civil authority. We need, of course, many people would argue, and I tend to agree, that our government has got much too big and much too complicated, and there's a government agency for every little thing in our lives. And I don't think we need a government agency for every little thing in our lives, but we do need a government. We have to have a government. Amen. Romans 13, and really when he's talking about this, he's talking about civil authority, although the statement that we read, the first two verses that we read at the beginning applies across the board. But let's look at this again. Romans 13, he says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. This is instruction given to Christians. He's writing, now look, what book of the Bible are we looking at here? Romans. It's not a trick question. It's right up there on the screen. Romans, okay. It's the book of Romans, all right? And who was it written to? It was written to the Christians who were in Rome, in the Roman Empire. How many of you know that the Roman Empire was not always friendly to the church and to Christians? In fact, they persecuted them. This is, how many of you know the Roman Empire was not exactly a godly government? But look at what the Apostle Paul wrote. Everyone must submit to governing authority. He's talking about the civil authority here. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. See, we read from Tertullian, we read the Apology. On the Sunday, we talked about the persecuted triumphant church. And where Tertullian said, if you persecute us if you want to, but the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Remember that? Well, in that, what he was writing about was he was making a defense. He was saying, look, you're persecuting us. We're not your problem in the empire here. We're not your problem, you know, with you maintaining order in the government here. In fact, we are the most law-abiding citizens in the empire. In the government, we're the most law-abiding. We're taught to do that. We're taught to respect authority. And yet they were still being persecuted. Why? Because they would not say one thing. They would not say, Caesar is Lord. They would say, Jesus is Lord. In the same book of Romans, in Romans 10, Paul said, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. But as far as obeying the laws in the nation, the Christians were good about that, as we should be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the authorities, verse 3, for the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants. Notice that. Authorities are God's servants. Amen. Law enforcement officials are God's servants. Our government officials are God's servants. Amen. Thank you for that one weak amen. I know this is hard to take, but it's the Bible. Amen. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. Verse 6. Now, y'all don't stone me as I read verse 6 here. Pay your taxes too. For these same, are our taxes too high? Yes. Should we lobby for tax reform and lower taxes? Absolutely. But until... We need to pay our taxes. Amen. We need to, thank God there's legal ways where to do this in our and right channels that we can do this in our, and thank God for the privilege we have to vote. It's sad that a lot of Christians don't even vote. I've got left off preaching and gone to meddling now, Doc. Amen. And we don't even we God gives us an opportunity to elect leaders that will represent us and represent what we hold to and what we believe more truly and clearly. And a lot of times Christians don't even bother. Amen. They don't even bother. Well, that's on our hands, folks, if we don't. Pay your taxes, too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. Is our government too big? Yeah, it probably is. But there is a legitimate function. Government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Notice that they're serving God. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. Look at this now. And here's important. Here's where our heart comes in, okay? God's interest. God looks on the heart, doesn't he? and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. See, if we do this begrudgingly and complaining and criticizing, we don't have any blessing there. But if we will, from our heart then, give respect and honor to those who are in authority, then God can bless us. Amen. Glory to God. I know this is tough today. Hallelujah. Let's move out of there. I think we've gone as far as we can go there with any effectiveness. And let's talk quickly here about authority in the church. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Peter's writing here. He says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." He's talking to pastors here. He uses the term elder, but notice the function, what they're to do. He's talking about the pastoral office. Verse 2, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." He's talking about, and he describes there, how godly leadership is to operate in the church, and how a shepherd, how a pastor is to operate and lead a congregation. He says in verse 4, he says, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Verse 5, "Likewise..." So he hadn't stopped talking yet. "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders." This is within the church. This is within the body of Christ. "You younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." What was the devil's sin? It was pride, wasn't it? "I'm going to exalt my throne. I'm going to sit in the sides of the north." He says, "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." See, the devil said, "No, I'm going to exalt myself." But God's word says if we humble ourselves, if we come under authority, then God can exalt us. Then God can promote us. Amen. "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." Amen. God's word translation says in verse 5, look at this, in verse 5 out of God's word, "Young people, in a similar way..." I wanted to read this version because of the way it says this. It's so important to understand. "Place yourselves under the authority of spiritual leaders." Place yourselves under the authority of spiritual leaders. So, you know, that's a decision. He's writing to the young people. And he didn't write to the spiritual leaders and say, "Exercise authority over the young people." He said to the young people, "Place yourselves under the authority of spiritual leaders." Why did he put it that way? See, because I cannot make you submit. Anyone in a position of authority cannot make someone submit. You may make them obey, but they'll be like the little boy that was made to sit down and stay in his seat. And he said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." See, submission is an attitude of the heart. And only you can place yourself under authority. I said, only you, you know, just like Smokey Bear, only you can prevent forest fires. Only you can place yourself under authority. Nobody can do that for you. That's something, that's a decision you have to make. You now have to say, "I'm placing myself under the God-appointed authorities in my life." Amen. And that's a place of protection. That's a place of blessing. That's a place of peace. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the thing about the webs. They've always placed themselves under authority in this church. Amen. And they benefited from the blessing of that. When a crisis comes, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's wrap this up. Look at, let's go to, we'll skip Hebrews 13. Go to Luke chapter 2 with me. Luke 2 verse 51. We'll wrap this up. We'll talk briefly about the blessing of being under authority. The blessing of being under authority. Everybody say, there's a blessing.
There's a blessing.
For being under authority. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Luke 2:51, it says, then he, Jesus, now this is right after, this is when Jesus was 12 years old. You remember the story? Remember the account? He and his family had gone up to celebrate Passover. And they had gone as a group and as all the family members, and they were headed back to Nazareth. And Jesus stayed behind, and he was in the temple, you know, talking with the scribes and the teachers and asking them questions and even teaching them. And so his parents went 3 days' journey, saw that Jesus wasn't with the group. They thought he was with some cousins, and he wasn't with them. So they went back to Jerusalem, searched for him, found him in the temple. And so he said, you've alarmed us. You know, why did you do this? And he said, did you not know I had to be about my Father's business? Then the next verse says, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth. He didn't, you know, when they went to, you know, grab me by the arm like you're going, he didn't go, get away from me. I'm not going with you. He didn't do that. He's 12 years old, but he didn't do that when his parents says, come on, son, let's go. It says he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And notice this, and was subject to them. And was subject to them. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus create Joseph and Mary? Yeah. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Did Jesus know more than Joseph and Mary? Yeah, he did. Yeah. But did Jesus submit himself to their authority? Yes, he did. Why? Because he was under the authority of God's word that said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And he did that. He submitted to the authority. Because he was submitted to the authority of God's word, then he said, these, my mother and father are authorities that God has placed over my life. Even though he was the Son of God, even though he knew more than they did, he said, you know, this is right for me to do this. And he was subject to them. He came under their authority. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. Verse 52 now. Notice this. And Jesus did what? God, that was very weak. That's a very positive word there. Jesus did what?
Increased.
Increased. Hallelujah. Somebody say increase.
Increased.
And Jesus increased. Why did he increase? Because he was subject to them. Because he came under authority. See, our increase spiritually, our increase in the kingdom of God is dependent on, are we willing to come under God's appointed authorities in our life? Hallelujah. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. So Jesus experienced increase in many areas. Why? Because he was willing to submit to the God-appointed authorities in his life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we will not experience the increase that God has for us until we do that in our individual lives. Amen. Amen. You'll not experience increase in your work. You know, people want to try to increase and move up and go higher in their career and in their work, but if they can't get along, if they can't submit to those in authority over them in work, they'll never rise very far.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. It applies in every area. Every area. Look at this. Look at Matthew chapter 8. We'll close with this one. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, it says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. Everybody say, under authority.
Under authority.
I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I want to point something out right there. Because he was under authority himself, therefore, he could have soldiers under him. We will not exercise authority until we are under authority.
Amen.
James said it this way, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The devil won't flee from us when we resist him unless we first submit to God. When we're under authority, then we can exercise authority. The man said, I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I said to this one, go, and he goes. and to another come, and he comes, and to my servant do this, and he does it. So this man was used to taking orders. He was a Roman centurion. He was used to, he had higher ups. He had superiors. And he was used to taking orders from them. But then he was also used to giving orders. And he said, when I give an order to this one, and I say go, he goes. When I say come, he comes. When I say do this, he does it. In essence, he was saying, Jesus, I want you to speak a word, my servant will be healed, because I know you've got authority over sickness. I know you've got authority over this sickness. You can speak to it and it'll go. So just say the word, my servant will be healed. Amen. He understood how authority operated. Amen. Amen. And you can see why the devil would try to get us to defy and reject the authority of God in our lives today. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Notice what Jesus commented on as great faith. It was that this man understood authority. This man was under authority, and he understood the principle of authority, and because of it, his faith could work greatly.
Amen.
He had great faith. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blessings of authority, increase comes when we put ourselves under God-appointed authorities in our lives, and we'll experience when we come under authority and we begin to flow properly with the authorities that God has put in our lives, then we'll begin to see great faith released in our lives to change situations and circumstances as well. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for your word today.